no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
Last week, the mainstream news and media full of the news about the release of the Truth and Friendship Commission report, and it's attracted a lot of attention and commentary and even some editorialising. So Jim Dunn has spent decades actively pursuing the human rights issues since the Indonesian occupation, and he's with us today talking about the response of the Truth and Friendship Commission report and what it means. Jim, you and a lot of other people have been critical of the way the Truth and Friendship Commission was conducted. Could you just briefly give our listeners a quick rundown of the reasons it was being criticised?
Well, it was criticised. Forgive me for the delay. Actually launched about 2.5 years ago. And when it was launched, it seemed that it was an Indonesian initiative, a rather reluctant one, a response to international pressure to carry out investigations into who was responsible for the killings and the destruction that captured the attention of the Security Council and the world in general in 1999. And it always seemed, in the way the mandate was developed, that it was designed not to unearth any individuals. It might come up with some information, and factual information, factual background, but it was unlikely to be able to specifically identify individuals responsible for the crimes against humanity committed in that year. And in particular, it really offered them impunity. In fact, the commission had no power of prosecution. It had no power, really, to recommend the prosecution of any individual. And that roughly is how it has come out. It's come out better than we expected. In a sense, I thought it might be a complete whitewash. In a sense, it has revealed, somewhat circuitously and gingerly, who was behind the violence and the key responsibility of the TNI.
Yeah, I think the actual findings were pretty much as you and other critics expected, despite the shortcomings you've described. Yet quite a few observers, from my reading anyway, were surprised by the final report. What was surprising about it?
Well, we thought actually that it would be it would give less exposure to the TNI than it did. Mm-hmm. It was obviously under great pressure to expose the command role of the TNI in East Timor in that time. I didn't expect it to go as far as that. Mm-hmm. But in fact, it has done some fairly good work in that respect. In fact, it's done enough positive work in that area to cause quite a reaction from Indonesia itself, from within Indonesia, and more Indonesians are calling for further inquiries. It's calling for the identification of those responsible for crimes against humanity.
Yes.
And a few, as indeed I've been doing, been causing for a general inquiry that will expose the brutal culture of the TNI, and not just in 1999, in all the years before 1999. Mm. And that was a problem with the mandate anyway. It was focusing on 1999 and not on the 24 years earlier or 23 years earlier when the culture of brutality in East Timor developed.
Some observers were, people were a little bit nervous about upsetting the Indonesians, but the president did seem to accept it. Were you surprised by the Indonesian reaction? Did you expect a different response? Well, it's had political ramifications inside Indonesia. Could you tell us a little bit about what it might mean politically within Timor-Leste? We know that the government there, particularly Xanana and Horta, have come under a certain amount of criticism for their support of the Truth and Friendship Commission. Is this going to take a bit of the pressure off them?
No, I don't think so. I think actually in East Timor, the fact that there is a recognition of the ferocity of the attack of the TNI and of the their behaviour during that time, if not a comprehensive one, it really has revived feelings in the community that something more needs to be done about it and that those responsible should not get off scot-free. And I mean, you know, Warwick, it comes at a time when they've just discovered Karadzic again, and he's about to be carted off to The Hague to be tried before the International Tribunal. Well, there are several Karadzic-like figures in the Indonesian military whose atrocities are not all that far less than the main one committed by, for which actually Karadzic is held responsible. Now, I think there will be a move, and there are moves, to do something more about, not to leave it there. I mean, Chananar in particular talks about it as if it is in the past. It is not in the past until the people of East Timor say so. Now, to turn to the Indonesian side, it also comes at a time when there is mounting pressure to reform the TNI. So this, of course, has added very considerable fuel to that pressure, and it also comes at a time when many Indonesians feel they have to make big changes, they have to be prepared to put those people who were responsible for atrocities against Indonesians on the spot, as well as what happened in East Timor. So in fact, particularly in the Jakarta Post, there have been a lot of positive responses to it and a lot of calls for further inquiries, for further steps. So I don't think anybody's going to be able to leave it there. And with an election coming up, of course, it will be an issue. But just how it will play out in that context, I don't know.
Right, and what about the further steps that can be taken either internationally? Is it likely that other tribunals or other commissions are going to be put in place?
Well, I think there will be further steps. You know, Ban Ki-moon, the fairly quiet new Secretary General, has welcomed this report as a step in the right direction. And what that means, I take it, as somebody who's been an advisor to UN leaders on this issue, that is that there is a way to go. And indeed, while these inquiries and these trials are being held in relation to what happened in Bosnia, and after all that happened before East Timor, at least before 1999,
yeah.
And what has happened in Rwanda and elsewhere, and pressures against the government of Zimbabwe and against the Sudan leaders. I don't think, you know, East Timor cannot be entirely ignored. Mm. What is really important about it, from the point of view of the East Timorese, is that they feel that they are being pushed right down, pushed aside, that unlike other peoples, they don't have the right to have attention given to the crimes against humanity committed against them. And the other thing is, of course, the state of East Timor is still extensive devastation, and the trauma that exists among the people is really very largely the result of the events during Indonesian occupation, and specifically in the last year. But the point about it from Indonesia's point of view, and even Timor's point of view, it's not what this report did. It looked at what happened in 1999. What needs to be done is a comprehensive tribunal or investigation into what happened between 1975 and 1999.
Yeah, that seems to have been pushed to one side in the sort of the focus on 1999 and probably needs to be a lot more done in that period.
And you know, a lot depends on the international community, because it shouldn't be forgotten that it's not up to local governments of nations to dismiss issues of crimes against humanity. that's the responsibility of the international community, and they can push governments into dealing with the matter more seriously. And that just might happen in the case of East Timor, but it will need to have the support of a considerable proportion of the political establishment of Indonesia, because I'm afraid our own government and the government of the United States are still heavily dosed on this attitude, we mustn't upset the government in office. Mm. I mean, an attitude which led to such terrible harm to the people of East Timor in the 70s.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope that something will happen that will finally allow the East Timorese people to receive some justice. And thanks very much. Go on.
I think so, it is. And in fact, the really important thing is the whole issue of justice of this kind has been rising in the international community. So I don't think the international community will let go. Already, a wide number of non-government organizations have called on the UN and, of course, the United States in particular to do something about it. And I noticed Condoleezza Rice actually commented on this report during her recent visit to Australia.